are praying. All the brothers and sisters, let them feel your presence, let them know your power. Oh Lord, they try to be strong. Only you know all of the struggles and the burdens they hold.
We pray, Lord, we pray, give them power to face the day.
Amen, indeed. At this time, we'd like to ask our children to come forward for our children's moment. How are you all doing this morning? Y'all doing all right? Well, Liliana had the bag this week. Liliana, do you remember the rules of the bag? All right, we'll go over the rules one more time, right? Nothing in the bag can be alive. It can't have ever been alive. And if I don't know what it is, you have to tell me what it is, all right? Sound fair? All right, let's see what we've got in here. What you got? Oh, got a little elephant rattle. Huh? Oh, Dumbo. And we have a little ring. I didn't know it was Dumbo. I haven't seen Dumbo in years. Do you like the movie Dumbo? Yeah? Well, what happens in the movie Dumbo? Does he have real big ears? Yeah? Does he kind of look a little different than the others? Yeah, he kind of gets made fun of because he looks a little different, doesn't he? Well, what happens with his ears? What is he able to do?
Fly.
He's able to fly. He's able to take off and to go and do exciting things. Right? And I want us to be mindful this morning that sometimes we look a little different than other people. There may be some things about us that we don't particularly care for, but that doesn't mean that God doesn't love us, right? Because he made us that way. He wants us to use sometimes our differences to help other people know that they're loved and that they're accepted and that Jesus cares for them. And we have this fun little ring. Right? This is a ring, right? Little ring rattle. I don't really know what to do with that. The Dumbo illustration is working really well, so we're just going to stick with that, all right? So I want us to be mindful today of all that God has done for us and that he has made us, especially the way that we are. And he loves us and he cares for us deeply, all right? And so we should help others to know that love, okay? All right, who wants the bag?
I do.
Well, I know you do. All right, who hasn't had the bag in a while?
I have.
Well, you've had it twice. Settle down. All right. Do you want to pick who wants it? You want to pick one of these that have their hand up? All right. There you go. You've got the bag.
A big old bag.
That's right.
Can I have it when she gets
later. Okay, you can have it later. All right, let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you again for this day, for your love and for your grace. We thank you that you have made each of us unique, Lord, and help us always to know how beautiful and handsome and loved we are. And may we use what you have given us to share your love with others. Lord, we thank you, we praise you, and we ask all these things in Christ's name. Amen. All right, y'all can go on to Children's Church. At this time, I'm going to introduce the introducer for our speaker, Roger Bram.
Matt has given me the honor this morning to introduce a good friend of mine that has been with the Gideons for a while. He was instrumental in helping develop the leadership of the Todd County camp when it began back in 1984, and has served many offices in his local camp in Butler-Edmondson County and also in the State Association. He was president of the State Association from 2005 to 2008. And it's my pleasure to introduce Mike Jennings here this morning that will share with you the progress and the accomplishments of the Gideons around the world. We're described as an association, but I believe it's, Brother Mike, it's more of a brotherhood, that the sun never sets on this ministry around the world. And Mike came prepared in case it comes a big snow. He has his wife, Catherine, here with him, and his couple of granddaughters, Parker and Sydney. So if it snows a lot, he's prepared to stay. Brother Mike, thank you.
It was battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely worth his while to waste much time on an old violin. But he held it up with a smile. "What am I bid, good folks?" he cried. "Who'll start the bidding for me? A dollar, then two, only two. $2, who'll make it three? $3 once, $3 twice, and going for three." But no, from the room far back, a gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bowl. Then he wiped the dust from the old violin, and he tightened a loose string, and then he played a melody as pure and as sweet as a caroling angel would sing. The music stopped. And the auctioneer, in a voice that was quiet and low, said, "Now, what am I bid for the old violin?" And he held it up with a bow. $1,000, and who'll make it two? $2,000, who'll make it three? $3,000 once, $3,000 twice, going and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some of them cried, "We don't understand." What changed its worth? Swift came the reply, the touch of the master's hand. And many a man, with life out of tune and battered and scarred by sin, is auctioned cheap by the thoughtless crowd, just like that old violin. A bowl of pottage, a glass of wine, a game, and they travel on, going once, going twice, going and almost gone. But the master comes, praise the Lord, and the thoughtless crowd can never understand the worth of the soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. Joplin Emerson was a young man who was battered and scarred by sin. He grew up in a home of drug addict parents. He became addicted to drugs, and in his high school years, he began to sell drugs. And the thoughtless crowd thought he was worthless. One day, as Joplin was leaving school, an older man, though, handed a little testament that a church member had provided the funds for and gave it to Joplin. Joplin made a joke, threw it in the back of the car. When he got home, he put it up, never thinking that he would read it. But several years later, a good friend of Joplin's was stabbed one night. And Joplin came home, and he was very troubled, and he tossed and turned all night, and he woke, and he didn't get to sleep, but in the early morning, when the sun started coming up, he thought, "Boy, I'll never sleep now." And he began to think about how people had told him that he was worthless. And he thought about he really was just a drug addict criminal, and he began to contemplate taking his own life. But then he remembered that there was a little testament in there, and he thought, "I'll give that thing a read." And he picked it up, and he began to read. He got to Matthew 7:7. "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you." And Joplin took those words serious. It said, "Ask and you'll receive. Seek and you'll find. Knock and it shall be opened." And Joplin just prayed right there at that point and said, "God, if you're really God, I'm going to ask, I'm going to seek, and I'm going to knock. And I'll give you 30 days to reveal yourself to me. And if you don't, I'm going to take my life." Joplin was serious. He began to go to churches. He went to a couple churches in his hometown, and because he still looked the part of a drug dealer, He wasn't welcome. He went to another church, slightly out of town, and at the end of the service, there was an older lady that came up and said, "Is this the first time you've been here?" "Yes, it is." "Oh, we're so glad to have you." And that was the first time Joplin was really made to feel welcome. He couldn't wait to go back that night, and he did go back that night. And when the preacher got up in the pulpit to preach, Joplin looked at him, and he realized that the preacher and many of the people in the congregation had something that he did not have. And he desired it greatly. And then the scripture came to him, "Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it'll be opened unto you." But then terror struck his heart because Joplin thought the word of God was not for him. But he went to the altar anyway and said, "Lord, I don't even know how to pray, but please forgive me." And we know when you come to God, he'll forgive. Because, church, you were faithful in supporting the Gideons, and that Bible was there for Joplin that night. We thank you, church, for making it possible for lives to be touched through his hand by his word. God's word is being distributed in 200 countries and 101 different languages. In our last fiscal year, ended May of 2016, because of support like churches, Petrie Memorial Methodist, 91,863,801 scriptures were distributed somewhere in those 200 countries. And we know that Isaiah 55:11 says, "As his word goes out, it shall not return void, but it will accomplish what he wants it to accomplish." Go with me to India, where I traveled in 2007, a country of over 1.3 billion people. Less than 5% of the folks in India are Christian. 8 million people in India die and go into a Christless eternity every year. The main religion in India is Hinduism. And they teach, what a dirty trick by Satan, that you have to work for your salvation, and you got to work and work, and one lifetime's not enough. You have to come back and work again and work again and work again. Can you imagine what the good news of the gospel would mean to the people of India? The Gideons and auxiliary of India are faithful to distribute his words and requesting more than we're able to send each year. It is illegal to import Bibles in India into India, but there are three different printing presses. You see a picture of one here that print the Bibles in 13 different dialects for the people of India. Thank you, Petrie Memorial, for making it possible for God's word to be placed in India. Go with me to Nigeria. In 2003, I was privileged to travel there, and in 2 weeks, we distributed 662,000 copies of the Word of God. About 10% of those were distributed in schools that looked a lot like this school. Can you believe that? Many of the schools did not have a book. The teacher would write the lessons on the board. The students would copy the lessons down because there were no books in the school. Can you imagine? And then imagine if somebody comes in and says, "My name is Mike Jennings, and I'm from the United States, and the churches of the United States have made it possible for me to give you a free book, and not just a book, but it's the precious Word of God." And the faces across that room would light up, much like the next picture, as we give the testaments to those children. Wouldn't you love to have been there to give those testaments then? And when we give those testaments, we said, "Write your name in the back, in the front of the book. In case you lose it, somebody will give it back to you." And then in many of those, we were able to go to the back of the book and go through the plan of salvation. We'll talk about that just a little bit more in a moment, though. Go with me to the city of Abadan, the northernmost city that we visited in Nigeria. The northern part of Nigeria is predominantly Islam. And it is dangerous to make very much distribution there, to be honest with you. I spoke to a Nigerian Gideon in 2008, and he said when they made distributions in the northern part of Nigeria, they had an escape vehicle, a getaway car, because if the Muslims found out they were doing that, they would try to stone them. Can you imagine? But in the city of Abadan, we went to a school called the Jericho High School, and we call them in Butler County a hog path. It was a little bitty path that went back to that school, and we carried all the Bibles that we could carry back to the Jericho High School, not knowing how many students were there. And when we got into the courtyard, if you will, young boys would come up and they would say, "Sir, let me carry the books. Let me carry the books." And I didn't want them to think I was lazy, so I was reluctant to let them have the books. You know, I wanted to know I would carry my part. And I was in a military base one day carrying a box of Bibles, and a young man came up and said, "Sir, let me carry the books." And I said, "No, I'm all right. I'm all right." And that young man said, "Sir, it's not customary in our country for the older man." I didn't like that, to carry the books if a younger man's present. So we made the distribution there at the Jericho High School, and because it's not customary for the older man to carry the books when the younger man's present, six little boys carried those boxes that still had a few testaments back to that van. And when we got back to the van, I gathered them around me, and I said, "Boys, I want you to know something. According to the word of God, God loves you, because John 3:16 says, 'For God so loves the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life.' But boys, you got a problem. Because the Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But God has a remedy in Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." And guys, you can be saved right now, because Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will open, I'll come in." Would you like to be saved? And all six of those little boys gather around a rubbish pile, their own, I call it the Jericho Road, because it was going to the Jericho High School. They received Jesus right there. Thank you, church, for making it possible. All six of those little boys received a little testament there, and you made it possible. Go with me to another school in Nigeria that's set on a hill. You can see it back there. We drove our car up that little grassy road there and got to the school. The school was grades K through 12, which creates a problem. The problem is, in Nigeria and in the United States, we distribute scriptures in grades 5 and above. So we asked the schoolmaster, "Bring the students 5 and above so we can distribute scriptures," and we did. The Nigerian Gideon that was with me, after we distributed the scriptures, went through the plan of salvation in the back of the book. And I would do that from time to time. The national language of Nigeria is English, so they understand English, but they have trouble with Kentucky English, okay? When I would speak, they would look and grin at one another. But on that particular day, he went through the plan of salvation. He said, "If you want to be saved, raise your hands." And all around that room, little boys and little girls raised their hands. They wanted to be saved, and they had a copy of the Word of God. But remember, grades 5 through 12. We got back in her car and started back down the hill, and 5 or 6 little girls chased the car, and I put my camera out and clicked it. All the way down the hill, "Please, sir, one for me. Please, sir, one for me." Because of your faithfulness, we believe when those children reach the 5th grade, there'll be one for them. Thank you, Patriot Memorial, for being faithful in your giving to buy scriptures to go in over 200 countries around the world. Go with me to the city of Calabar in Nigeria. In Calabar, we were at a hotel, and we were supposed to leave the hotel at 8 o'clock one morning, and the Nigerians don't get too concerned about time. It was 8:45 when we left the hotel, and we had a goal to distribute 650,000 scriptures, and I'm goal-oriented, and man, I was saying, "God, what am I sitting in this hotel? I come over all this place to sit in a hotel." And we got in the car, we drove less than a quarter of a mile and pulled into a service station, had to get gas, and we had to wait 30 minutes to get gas. And I'm thinking, "Lord, my goodness, what's going on? I need to be distributing scriptures." And then I saw him. The next picture shows you the young man that sat on a piece of wood about the size of the pulpit there. He has sandals out in front of him, but they're not for his feet. He's crippled. He can't walk. And he puts his hands in those sandals and pushes himself along the ground. And the Lord said, "That's the reason you're here at this time." And he was begging for money, and I don't know how much, I didn't understand the Nigerian money, but I gave him what Nigerian money I had. And then I said, "Young man, if you died tonight, do you know that you'd go to heaven?" He said, "No, but wouldn't it be nice to?" Man, that opened the door. And we went through the plan of salvation, and that young man received the Lord Jesus Christ right there by an old gas pump. And you made it possible, Petra Memorial. Thank you. Thank you that we left him with a word of, copy of the Word of God. And I said, young man, can I take your picture? And he said, please don't. And I didn't. I went back, got in the car, and the Lord said, go tell him this. And I went back up there and I said, young man, the Lord asked me to ask you to let me take your picture. And if you'll allow me to take your picture, I'll take it back to the United States and show people there what God's doing. And he said, you go ahead and take my picture. And I did, and there it is. Thank you, church. Thank you, church. Thank you for your support of the Gideons. Again, over 91 million scriptures our last fiscal year, and churches like Petra Memorial make it possible. But the need for scriptures continues to be great. On January the 15th of 2017, just a few days ago, there were pending orders for over 5 million scriptures at our international headquarters in Nashville, waiting for the funds to come in so those scriptures could go out to places like India, Nigeria, and 200 countries around the world. Please help the Gideons. Number one, pray for the Gideons. Pray for the Gideons. Again, all around the world, we have all kind of issues trying to get Bibles into some countries. Right now, we're working to get into China. And we have a ministry in China. It's a little different. I won't go into that. But God's word is going into China. And you're making it possible. But pray that God would open the doors more fully in many of these countries. Use the Gideon Card Program. You have a display here. And if you want to honor someone or memorialize someone, please consider throughout the year using that Gideon Card Program. The Gideons of Todd County and Elkton can use help, Gideons and their wives. Consider, if you're a business professional man, supervisory position, farmer, there's lots of different occupations that qualify to become Gideons, but they need help. Please consider joining the Gideons or the auxiliary here in your local community. Also, if you said, well, I can't or I don't want to join, if you look in your bulletin, there's some information out there just about becoming a friend of the Gideons. You can become a friend and just be a praying friend, or you can become a financial friend. If you're interested in that, look at the back of the bulletin and considering becoming a friend. And finally, as we come each year, we ask for an offering. Now, the little testaments that we give around the world have an average cost of about $1.25. This morning, I don't want you to say, well, Lord, how much money do you want me to give to the Gideons? I want you to say, Lord, how many testaments do you want me to provide? And whatever he tells you will be between you and him at $1.25. A box of 100 costs $125. You can do the math. But how many testaments would the Lord have you provide this morning to go to people that may never have a chance to hear the blessed word of God? Thank you again for your kind support and your attention. Brother Matt.